if you've ever been in the mangroves with me, how many of you have ever been in the mangroves with me? Most of you have. And it's looking good. I think we're done with winter. I know I said that once already, but I think Tuesday we are going to go paddleboard back in the mangroves. We're getting the trailer together tomorrow, getting it all cleaned up. So, Tom, if you'd like to come over and maybe help do that too, Tom, Ashley and JJ, we're going to pull everything out. I have no idea what's living in the paddleboard trailer. We're going to make sure everything's all good. But I do know that I think Kim and Andy and them are coming, and that'll encompass most of the boards we have to give away. But if you have your own boards or kayaks and would like to come, man, come be a part of that. Wednesday, I know we're probably going to be out on a boat. Looks like the weather's good. I think, you know, Tuesday looks good for sure. So, but my point is this, that if you've ever been to mangroves, you've heard my mangrove spiel, all right? And it's not just a spiel. For me, it's life. It reminds me of what I'm going to be preaching on today. It reminds me of why we're in Revelation, where Revelation's not a scary book if you're a believer. Everything you read in Revelation should encourage you as the church, because that's what it was written for. It was there to encourage the church to know who the risen Christ is, the King of Kings that is in heaven right now, that's praying, literally praying for you if you're a believer. And he's the one keeping you saved. And in the mangroves, I'm just constantly reminded again that I know how it all ends. We win, right? So here's my mangrove spiel that I am going to give you, and it's an encouragement to me every time I'm back there, the same way that, again, Revelation was given to be an encouragement to the church. I got to say this first, though, again, because this is what just totally blows me away, that Almighty God can give Revelation to the Apostle John and name it Revelation, which means God himself, God Almighty, is going to reveal it to us who Jesus Christ is. And yet, if you were to ask anyone, what is the scariest book that no one can understand, the church would answer Revelation. God, who, if God can't reveal it to you, man, it can't be revealed. But I'm telling you, God can reveal it to you. What happens is, man, I'm just thinking we're asking questions that don't need to be asked, and he's giving us answers to things that we're not asking questions for, and we get confused about keeping the main thing, and it is a revelation of Jesus Christ. How many of y'all back in the day remember Kmart? And you remember Kmart? Y'all remember going to that section where they had the posters? Anybody remember the posters? You'd go, woo! And then there's the Blacklight posters. There's the later in life, there's the David Hasselhoff and Baywatch posters. There's the, yeah, you know what I'm saying? There's all those posters going. I could go back all the way into my lifetime of what kind of posters there were. But man, when you saw that poster, it was like, whoa! That's who Jerry Briscoe was. Y'all remember Jerry Briscoe? Did anybody watch wrestling back then before everybody found out it wasn't real? I'm just saying, but anyways, it was like, man, whoa, there was a poster revealing all the greatest things about that rock star, that wrestling star, that baseball star, that whatever. There was a poster showing us all the greatest things about that person, and you could look at it and be like, oh, that's what Revelation is. It's a giant poster that God Almighty gave us to reveal to us who Jesus Christ is. We know him in the Gospels, and what a blessing, what an honor, what an awesome thing that he did, but that's so much of an understatement. But he is no longer the suffering servant. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords that is almighty, and he is in charge of everything. Amen? And if we could understand that, if every day we could just look at, have that poster on the wall and look and see who Christ is, I know that we would be encouraged. And that's what, again, what the book of Revelation is for, to be an encouragement to us to know who's really in charge. And so that's what happens in the mangroves. I got to tell you, because it's going to lead into this. There's three kinds of mangroves out there, right? There's the red mangrove. Help me out. There's the black mangrove, and there's the white mangrove, right? And again, they're not even related. They're just able to tolerate salt. That's why they're called mangroves. And so again, yeah, they're not even related plants, but they can tolerate salt. And God has uniquely created each one to be able to do that. So the red mangrove, when you look out into the side of the river and you see the three mangroves, the green, the dark, deep green, that's the red mangrove. And it's got the prop roots, the propagules. It's got these roots that basically the branch is going to grow out and it's going to grow roots going down. And when they go down into the mud, they create an anchor for the plant and allow it to keep growing and hold everything together. But when those propagules or prop roots are in the air, if you will look at them, man, it's not just some stick sticking down there. There is a very intricate, you know, into them that God has put together that allows them to be able to take in the right amount of salt, to be able to deal with the salt content that they have. That's the prop root. And what happens with that, so now you've got these red mangrove roots coming down, and it's a hideaway. It's like a crib or a cradle for all the baby fry that come in off of the ocean. Right out of the inlet, they all come in, and the ones that don't get eaten as they're going in there, the ones that survive, they can hide in the prop roots that are there. How many of y'all have seen those prop roots? They're so intricate. And if you would hang out next to the prop root and be quiet, you'd be amazed at all the things that live in there. But as long as the baby fish stay under the authority, under the protection of those prop roots, they don't have to worry about the barracuda. They don't have to worry about the snook. They don't have to worry about the red, the bigger fish coming in and eating them. That's where their protection is. And you know what? When I see those prop roots, Katie, every single time, how long have we been seeing those prop roots? Man, we see them in our brain. We got them everywhere. We've been seeing them a long time. By the way, Katie does paddle tours out there. I used to do them too when we first started this church. And we still go out. But man, every time I see those prop roots, it reminds me of when I gave my life to Christ. It reminds me of when I put myself under the authority of Him. And as long as I stay under His authority, I don't have to worry about the big barracudas. I don't have to worry about the sharks. I don't have to worry about anything because everything's going to be taken care of in that massive prop roots where He's protecting me. I got to stay under His authority. Amen? Now, that same red mangrove, what it's going to do, it's starting to grow seeds now. They're about this big. But you know, these seeds start growing and getting longer and longer, and they look like string beans about this big. How many of y'all find those on the beach? You find those. You know what I'm talking about? In fact, those things, what they're going to do is they're going to keep growing. And like most of the seeds, at the end of summer, when we start getting our heavier winds that come with the hurricanes and the tropical storms, that's when God matures most of those seeds so they can be blown off and they can propagate. Now, that seed's going to pop off, and it's going to float around for up to a year. If it lands on a beautiful pool deck, Terry, is it going to grow? Especially if it's yours. It ain't growing on your pool deck, right? So it gets tossed away. If it lands on a beautiful beach, Stephen, does it grow on the beautiful white sand? No. In fact, as a surfer, you throw them at each other because they're very aerodynamic, right? And they're not going to grow there. How many of y'all know where those seeds grow? They grow in the, it begins with M and ends with D and has U in the middle of it. What is it? Where do they grow? The mud. Yeah. Just like us. So that red mangrove's got this beautiful canopy, you know, beautiful protection of the prop roots, and then it grows this seed. The seed falls off and goes around until it finds some soft mud to land in. And once that happens, then it starts to grow. For me, that's like the Word of God. Every morning, I've got to be in the Word of God. Not so I can say, oh, Terry, I found some Bible verses for you today. Oh, boy, I found some for you. Oh, Susie, you know what? You're a mess, and you need a bunch of these Bible verses I found today. Yeah, maybe, but who do those Bible verses have to affect first? Me. My heart's got to be like soft mud. Oh, my goodness, I've got to be soft. I've got to be, God, what are my marching orders today? God, what is it you want me to do today? God, what is it that I need to do to represent you better? What is it? You're my king. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. God, show me what to do and allow me to tap into the grace to be able to do it. That's what I want to do. And I get that from the Word of God, just like JJ was saying. Man, if you find yourself not close, not whatever, you're probably not in the Word. Or if you are in the Word, it's just some rudimentary exercise that you can check off a box. But when you get into the Word as an reading these intimate love letters that God Almighty has written to you, and you allow His Word to richly, you know, come into your life, the Holy Spirit that lives in you as a believer, and that Holy Spirit is taking that Word and making it alive, man, all of a sudden now you've got that plant growing, that seed is growing in your life. Now, once it starts growing, you become like the, what's the next kind? The black mangrove. Out at the black mangrove, hey, where's, do I got any kids in here? They must be watching kids. Krissa, you're the only one here that can answer this question. What is the valuable characteristic of the black mangroves? What does a black mangrove have that none of the other mangroves have? Salty leaves, yes. How many of y'all ever sucked on the salty leaves of a black mangrove? Yeah, this group here. Y'all need to come out and suck on some salty leaves with us. But here's what the black mangrove does. Here's what God has equipped it. So it lives in almost the same area, only its propagules are shooting straight up. And when you look at those propagules, they look just like the propagules on the red, only they're coming from the ground up. And you can look at them and see they're just as intricate. And it helps it regulate the salt, but it needs a little more help. How many of y'all need a little more help? You like the black mangrove? Yeah, so it needed a little more help. So what God does with the black mangrove is it takes the salt up through the roots. It takes it up through the branches, and it's a darker, deeper, blacker color. And it comes up, and on these willow-shaped leaves, what happens is that it uses the salt that it's going to need, but the salt that it has is extra. It puts on the leaves and makes it a dull color. Now, let me ask you a question. What would happen if you drank salt water? One, you'd dehydrate. Two, you would die. So most mammals, birds, and insects can't tolerate salt in a liquid form, but they can and desperately need it in a solid form. So what God uses that black mangrove for, it takes what it needs as it's coming up, as you do with the Word, as I do with the Word, and I'm like, God, I need this. This is for me, but again, it's now going to make the extra accessible to all the other critters that are there that need the salt. And that's what I'm supposed to be doing. So God reminds me, and I put myself under His authority. He reminds me to stay under His authority. I got to be in His Word and let that Word grow. But as it grows, it becomes salt. I own it. And it's not only for me, but it's for all the critters that I encounter in a day. How many of y'all ever been my critters out there? Yeah. And y'all are my critters right now. I got to share it with you. It's not just for me, but it takes great faith, which reminds me of the third and really one of my favorite mangroves that has to do with the message today. That last one. So we've got the red mangrove, the black mangrove, and we've got the... Yeah, so as you look out into the landscape out there, you'll see these chartreuse-looking, bright chartreuse-looking leaves. They're thick and leathery. And if you pull one of those leaves off, you will notice at the stem of each one of those leaves are two, what are they, Ashley? What are they? Glands, two glands. Yeah, that's what God is. I was going to say, man, yeah, Terry hadn't even been out there in a while and he remembered. All right, but he's got a good memory. All right, but two glands. So if you look at it, it's got a leathery leaf, and at the stem, there's two little bumps, which are glands. And so, man, I remember the first time I shared that after I gave some marine biologists, you know, from Vero paddleboard lessons, and they taught me about it. The very next week, I had some guys out there, and I'm paddling around, and we're sitting there talking, and I'm showing them mangroves, and I said, oh, these are glands, and they start laughing at me. And I'm like, oh, what's so funny, man? And they're like, well, we happen to be doctors at the most prominent hospital in Boston. I'm like, awesome. What do you think? I'm Forrest Gump if you hadn't figured that out. I like it just going right over my head if they're making fun of me. But anyways, yeah, we happen to be doctors. So, well, what do y'all think? Well, this guy specializes in glands. Let him tell you. And again, I never, ever, ever will forget. I can't even remember the dude's face, but I will never forget his words. He said, it's awful extravagant. Y'all say extravagant. It's awful extravagant to think that there would be glands on a leaf. And I'm like, wait a minute, dude. You're already starting out with some big words here now. What are you talking about? And he said, I'll have you know. Now, you know this ain't my words, right? He said, I will have you know that glands are the most highly intricate orifice in the universe. I know what orifice is, but I didn't know the most highly intricate orifice in the universe. And I'm like, I don't get what you're saying. He said, look, a gland isn't just a hole where stuff falls in and falls out. I'm a doctor. I'm like, okay. It's like, cool. And he's like, I spend my entire life with a patient, helping them regulate their diet, their drugs, everything, so that this gland will secrete a little more, a little less. If this is a gland, what's controlling it? He said, man, where's the endocrine system? Where's the brain? And I said, sir, you're already like went over my head. I said, I'm a simple man and I'm a believer, so I'm going to tell you it's God. And it was early in the ministry of Driftwood where I was learning that that was my pulpit out there in the water. And I thought he was just saying, time out, I don't want to talk. He said, I'm going to go home and research this. I said, okay, go ahead. And I never thought I'd hear from him again, Joey. A couple weeks later, the dude calls me and he says, guess what? And I said, what? He said, you're never going to believe it. And I'm like, okay. I really didn't know. I had an idea. He said, those are glands. I was like, yeah. I was like, all right, cool. And he said, if those are glands and God is controlling them, he said, he must be controlling everything in this world. Oh, my God. I was like, oh, when he said that, if those are glands and he's controlling them, he must be controlling everything in this world. It's like, yes. So when I see those glands on those leaves, I know that God is controlling it all. And he asked me this. He said, if he's controlling it all, I got to play by his rules. What are his rules? How many of y'all know I ain't got a short answer to nothing? I'm like, oh, God, give me the shotgun prayer. God, I said, you got to let him control you. And I said, can I take a few moments to tell you how he can control you? And he said, yeah. I said, well, you came into this world as a sinner, and you sin. You blew perfection, and God requires perfection. And you can't achieve it on your own. You've robbed God of his glory already. You can't go give him his glory back. There's no way. You can never make up for what you've done. And he requires perfection or you go to hell in the end. But he came in the form of his son, in the form of a human being, and lived a perfect life, never once sinning, and even died on the cross like a sinner, went and paid before God. He paid for the wrath, the punishment for all the sins of those that would accept him. He paid for all of that. And so if you are willing to admit that you have no way to earn your way to heaven, that God, I've blown perfection and there's no way I can achieve it, and I need your perfection, Christ will give you his perfect life. As long as you're willing to give him your imperfect life. You can't keep them both. And he said, how do I do that? And I said, through prayer. And he prayed the most beautiful prayer. He said, God, I have been to the highest levels of learning. I have learned everything man has to say about glands. And you took me to a mangrove swamp to show me that you were in charge of everything. God, I want you to be in charge of me because I believe what the pastor's telling me. Because God gave him grace, which gave him faith, which gave him the ability to believe that you could give Christ your imperfect life and he would give you his perfect one. And everything he did on the cross, his death, burial, and resurrection now applies to you because you are buried in Christ. Amen. He got gloriously saved. So every time I get out in those mangroves, I think about when I gave my life to Christ. And I question, God, where am I out from under these? Am I like these cocky little fry? You ever see them cocky little fry? They think they're big enough and they swim out there. They're like out like, oh, look at me. In Nemo, I'm going to touch the butt. You know, they're out there and the tide goes and now they're like, oh. If you just stay under the authority, God, help me stay under your authority. God, help me stay under your authority. But you stay under his authority by reading his word. And letting his word sink into your life and making it real, applying it to yourself. That's how you stay under that. Then you take it and it becomes part of you. It becomes so part of you that there's no part of you that's unaffected. Some of y'all have heard this before, but I was up in my sister's beach house that she sold now, hour south of Tallahassee, right next to Apalachicola. Best oysters in the world until Alabama. And Georgia got overcrowded. and down the Occlocknee River started sending lots of pollution, and down the Apalachicola pollution. And for a number of years, you couldn't even eat the oysters out there. But before that, I think maybe as it was starting to turn, I went and we were there and I got a bushel of oysters. Oh man, anybody in for Shuck'em and Suck'em clubs? Dude, man, we just have them. And the ones we can't pop open and just, oh man, the ones we can't do that, we'll put on the grill, let them pop open, and you just pop them out. Oh my goodness. I am so sorry if you do not enjoy that, because that is one of the greatest pleasures in this life as a human. But man, I can remember back in the St. Augustine days, we'd fill my, when I was in college, dude, $16, man. We'd go, I was in college there, and we'd fill the bed of the truck, $16 for a bushel of oysters. Now it's hundreds of dollars, but man, we'd go to the ice plant, fill it with ice, and then we'd get our beverages, and we'd pull our trucks up on Anastasia Island. We'd just lay in the back of the bed of the truck, man, and just shuck 'em and suck 'em parties. It was awesome. Oh my, so I got a long history of this, man, and I'm looking forward to heaven, and if it's there, you'd know where to find me, all right? And it's going to be right next to the gizzard aisle, all right? Chicken gizzard aisle. But anyways, let me get back to this, if I can. Man, I was at my sister's house. I was eating them oysters. Oh, they were so good going down, man. And then all of a sudden, about a couple hours later, after I'd polished off what I thought I'd polish off, all of a sudden, my stomach's going gurgle, gurgle, bubble, bubble, boing, 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 all them noises, right? And it's going, woo! And all I'm going to say is that within 24 hours, I lost 11 pounds. I was in, woo, man, it ain't the way you want to do it. But I was going into town feeling a little bit better, going into Panacea the next day where I bought the oysters from. And I go into Panacea and I talk to the dude and I'm like, hey, man, them oysters weren't very good. How much of my body was affected by those oysters, would you say, to lose 11 pounds in less than 24 hours? Was there any part of my body not affected? No, every part of my body was totally affected. So I went back to the dude. And when I went back to him, he's like, oh, man, did you save me the shells? I said, no, I didn't save nothing, man. He said, give me the shell. I said, all right. He said, I can return them because he ain't supposed to sell me bad oysters. And I'm like, well, good, you ain't supposed to sell me bad oysters. But he said, you bring me some shells, I'll give you a whole nother bushel. Oh, in the logical side of my brain, which is my wife, she wasn't there, but I could hear her saying, don't do it, don't do it. I don't do it, but guess what I did? I was like, all right, I'll do another bushel, man. You promised me these are good. Well, you know what? They weren't. There ain't many of y'all that can say y'all ate 2 bushels in 2 days of bad oysters and survived to live to tell about it, but I can. Oh, my goodness, man. I don't even know how much weight I lost, man, in that round, but yeah, I was pretty skinny. I didn't even go outside because I had clothes that would stay on, but I'm just saying, oh my goodness, in that ordeal, I then went back to him and he said, well, how about another? I said, no, sir, 3 strikes, you're out. I'm a baseball player. We're not doing this again. And I'll never forget, whenever I think of how Christ is supposed to affect your life, how much of your life is he supposed to affect? Every bit of it. The only thing I got other than Christ that affected every bit of my life were them bad oysters. And I know, man, I could feel it in the toenail on my pinky toe, all the way up to the whatever hair I had on my, I could feel it all the way through my entire body. And that's how Christ is supposed to affect us. Amen. Man. So I got these red mangroves. That's how I am. I gave my life to Christ. I've got the seeds. The seeds come, and that's the word of God in my life. It's got to land in my life. It's got to affect every part of my life. As it does, I become like the black mangrove with the salt, and the salt comes up, and it comes through me, and I have extra, and I get to share it with the critters. And if you want critters to share with, plant a church. No, I'm just saying no. But that's what he's called me to do, is to share it, and he's called every one of us to share that. And as I share that, I've shared it with you, and some of you guys have said, well, when's this going to happen? Well, God's going to do this. God wants to do this. God's in control. Hey, well, how long is this going to take? Any of y'all ever asked me that? Any of you ever thought to ask me that? Yeah, a lot of times, because again, God doesn't operate immediately. He doesn't operate in our time frame. And God does things when God wants to do them. And he's never early. He's never late. He is always, always, always right on time. And when we understand that, we wait differently. So that's where that green mangrove comes in, man. I got the leaf, the leathery leaf with the two little glands on it. And I go back and I'm thinking that God, what are we going to do? God, how are we going to do this as a church? God, how are we going to do this as a family? God, you know, I don't know what the answer is to this. God, I don't know what to tell them. God, I don't know what to think myself. Any of y'all ever get in that position where you don't know the answer to something? Katie, you ever been there? I don't know what to do. I don't have a clue. And you know you can come up with something in the flesh that is not going to be very effective. Do y'all know that? But yet often we do that. We come up with something in the flesh. We were joking on Wednesday night's Bible study. We go to Walmart's clearance aisle and we try to solve the problem there instead of waiting on God to ship the very best to us. And so when I look at that green mangrove leaf, I'm like, God, I got no clue. How is this going to happen? God, I don't even know what I'm going to do. Got no idea. And I look at it, and I remember that dude saying, it's awful extravagant. Any of y'all know an extravagant God? Yeah. It's awful extravagant to think that God could put two glands on each leaf. You know how many leaves there are out there? How many fishing lures you got hooked on them leaves? Joey, how many fishing lures you got hooked on them leaves? And there's way more leaves than that. You look at those leaves and all those glands, and it's awful extravagant to think God would put an intricate gland, the most intricate orifice in the entire universe. And I'm thinking that dude, he liked his craft. But again, when I look at those leaves and I see those glands, I'm thinking, God, you know what? I don't have the answer. And that's why you gave me this situation. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. We got to believe he is who he says he is and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. That is in Hebrews chapter 11, probably verse 6. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that's where it's at. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. So in order to have faith in something, you have to have a situation that requires faith. April, have you ever, between Fort Payne, Alabama and Fort Pierce, Florida, have you ever had anything that God's given you that's required faith? How often? Oh, pretty much all the time. And when we look at those, we so often look at that situation and we're like, oh God, take it away, take it away. And he's like, no, I want to give you this so I can give you faith through grace and you can watch me work. And in the end, you will have a story so phenomenal that only God can get blamed in that. Don't go to the clearance aisle at Walmart and get your answer. Wait for me. And so I look at that leaf and I say, God, I don't have the answer. I don't know how this is going to, I don't know what's going to happen in all of this. And God always asks me. He doesn't speak audibly, otherwise I wouldn't be here. But he speaks through his word, through these verses like this. He says, are you more important than this leaf? And I said, yes, sir. And I put two intricate glands on each one of these leaves. Don't you think I have your situation under control? And you know what I do with that leaf? I throw it in the air and I say, sorry for being an idiot. And I take two more steps and I'm like, oh, what am I gonna do? And I grab another leaf. Oh, okay. So if you ever see me with leaves tucked in my baggies, you see leaves, I'm chewing on a leaf. You see them in my rearview mirror in my bathroom. You see them anywhere. You see me pull them out of my pocket. You know I'm dealing with a situation where I need God to remind me that if he can make two glands on each one of those leaves, and I'm more important than that, he's got my situation under control. Amen? Next week, when we look at this scripture, we ain't got time to do chapter 8 and 9 right now. I don't even think we're supposed to. All of this, what you just got, was all lanyap, man, from the Holy Spirit of God. It wasn't in my notes, wasn't in my plan. This is my plan, chapter 8 and 9, and I think I got a pretty good outline here, and I could whoop through it. But I think what you're supposed to hear, I think you heard. What I was supposed to hear, I heard. And you will see when you come back next week. Y'all coming back next week, aren't you? No, I'm just when you come back next week, you can even cheat and read the whole outline, read it all, read chapters 8 and 9. But what you're going to find out is God is in control. What he's shown us is that Christ orchestrates the destruction of this planet and the destruction of the devil. So God is in control. Christ is in control of this earth and of our enemy. And so when it comes to this earth and this enemy, I don't think any of us have anything to worry about if we are born again believers. If at some point you have exchanged, you realize your life is messed up, your life is imperfect, even compared to others. Well, I'm in good shape. No, if it's imperfect, you've disqualified yourself for being able to get into heaven. What has to happen is you need perfection, and the only place you can get that is from Christ. He was perfect, and he wants to give you that perfection as long as you're willing to give him your imperfection. There's an exchange, and you do it through prayer. So if you're here today, this ain't normal. I'm trying to stretch it out another 15 minutes, Terry, just so we can say we're out before 11 now. 11:45, don't get used to this. I'm just, unless this is God's new thing here. I don't know. You'll have to come back next week to see, but I had two chapters today. In fact, look at this. How can we as a church be encouraged as we study Revelation 8 and 9? Well, you know how you can be encouraged? The Holy Spirit of God answered your prayer, not by giving us the rapture, but getting us out early, and you can beat the Methodists to the restaurant. But Judy, you asked me at lunch the other day, we were at Funky Cuda, and you just said, we were talking about all kinds of stuff, and Judy's getting ready. In fact, right now she's heading back up to Maryland, and she said, Pastor, how you feel about all this going on in the world? And I said, awesome. Because I know who's in control. Nothing is going down that is not under his control. And my job as a child of him, since he's left me here, is to see life from his perspective and say, what do you want me to do now, God? And I do it. And that's it. So I want to encourage you to have the peace of God he says you can have if your mind's focused on him. And if we realize everything is under his control, I think we have a whole lot less anxiety. Amen? All right, God, I'll get them chapters next week, like you're saying. Let's pray. Father, I'm coming to you in the name of Jesus. And I'm grateful, Father, that I didn't even know what my introduction was even going to be on this, because I knew I had so much to preach. And as the band was singing that last song, Father, I don't even know the words, but you just reminded me of these mangroves, and you put that in my heart, and you let me know that was you. And Father, I know that is what this group was supposed to hear today, and now we can apply this to our lives. Help us, Father, to be like those mangroves, to keep ourselves under your authority, and do that by being in your word and applying it to our lives, by taking what we allow to grow or what you allow to grow in our lives and sharing it with others, and then constantly being challenged with the ability to believe. And as we see you come through over and over and over again, you give us faith through grace, and our faith gets stronger in you. Father, I pray that's what happened, because that will spill over into the rest of the people that are around us. Help us encourage each other by seeing life from your perspective. And again, if there's somebody that needs to give their life to Christ, make that exchange. Father, give them a desire. They can't refuse to do that. And I pray for these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people at Driftwood threw up a shaka and said, yeah.